Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
We are back for night two of the NFL draft, which was short and sweet for the New York Jets. They hold on to their position in the second round, number 43. They take Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin, and that was it. Nothing in the third round, and that's why we're coming to you pretty early here, 10 o'clock or a little after 10 o'clock. We hit the over today on the over-under placed in the chat. But welcome into the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt and Marissa Dunn. Please subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on Apple, wherever you are. Subscribe, give us a great review, give us a thumbs up, all of that stuff. Zach, easy night at the office for you. You know, head home, you're going to get a good night's rest, be ready for day three.
This is a
lot different than a year ago for the Jets.
I was going to say, me and Brian Costello, another who covers the Jets for the Post, we were joking that so far the Jets have an A grade if they keep getting us out this early. And if they get us out early tomorrow, I might give them an A plus grade. So, for my health, I need to go home and sleep. I haven't slept much.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Tippmann, obviously. We're going to talk about a little bit more about McDonald as well. Will McDonald, their first round pick. And we'll look ahead to day three. Also, what the needs still are for this team and who may be out there for their fourth round and 2 5th round picks. So how did we get to the Jets pick tonight? We'll zip through the beginning of round two. The Steelers go with Joey Porter Jr. They had a lot of trade options and decided to keep the pick. A lot of teams wanting to come up and take a quarterback, but they stay there and they take a legacy pick, Joey Porter Jr., son of Joey Porter, the cornerback. Great pick, obviously. The Steelers 2 years in a row, right, hit the fans. Mm-hmm. Last year they go with the Pitt player. This year they go with Porter. Titans traded up. They get Will Levis with the second pick of the round. And then the Lions, who are having a good draft, take Sam LaPorta, the tight end out of Iowa. Little run on tight ends. Michael Mayer, the Notre Dame tight end, goes after that. Steve Avila, the TCU offensive guard, goes 36. Seahawks go with an outside linebacker out of Auburn, Derek Hall at 37. One guy I was hoping may drop to the Jets as a Syracuse grad was Matthew Bergeron, the Syracuse guard. He actually played tackle at Syracuse, but I think a lot of people think he'll be a guard. He goes to the Falcons at 38. Panthers get Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver, 39. Saints, Isaiah Foskey, Notre Dame defensive end at 40. Cardinals, B.J. Ojulari out of LSU, the outside linebacker at 41. And then the Packers, right before the Jets, Luke Musgrove, another tight end out of Oregon State. And there's a bunch of tight ends available tonight. And three of them went all before the Jets even picked. And that brings us to Joe Tippmann. You nailed it, Zach, at least in one of your mocks.
My most recent one, I had them picking him 42nd. So technically it was one pick off because they didn't do the Rodgers trade yet when I did it, but
But then it's a coin flip if they had both picks, right? Like whoever they take.
And also, I believe Dane Brugler had them getting Joe Tippmann as well. So me and Dane both got a win there.
Yeah, and Dane likes him a lot. He was Dane's number one center prospect, although he is tall. That's like one of the negatives.
Very tall. Yeah.
Too tall for a center, we'll find out. But 6'6", 313, 22-year-old junior coming out of Wisconsin, out of a big family. Six brothers, one sister. And after last night, we got on this show and it was all about confusion, why this pick, why now, all of that. This one just seems to make total sense.
Yeah, this was like a ho-hum, makes sense. I don't think anybody's mad about it pick. I think they needed a pick like this tonight after the reaction from last night. I think maybe it's calmed down a little bit today. I think some people are still confused about what happened yesterday. I think, you know, as time goes on, I think maybe people will accept that pick a little more, and if Will McDonald turns out to be a good player in particular. But yeah, I wasn't sure if they were going to go after a center, but it does make sense if you think about it. You know, as we talked about yesterday, Connor McGovern signed a small contract. They clearly don't view him as like a long-term solution. So, you know, Robert Saleh said it's an open competition in camp. It'll be between Joe Tippmann and McGovern unless they still sign Ben Jones, which Joe Douglas didn't shut down as a possibility. But yeah, you know, they really like this kid. They brought him in for a visit. he has a Jets connection, his mentor and offensive line coach in high school and middle school is Jason Fabini, who played right tackle for the Jets for like 8 years in the late 90s, early 2000s. So there's a Jets connection there. Another, they went full Wisconsin this year. They traded for Aaron Rodgers, drafted Will McDonald, who's from Wisconsin, and then drafted Joe Tippmann, who looks like what an offensive lineman born in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and who went to school at Wisconsin would look like. He's got a mullet.
Joe Douglas called it the best mullet in the draft, right?
Yeah, actually, he actually had a phrase for it as well that I forgot to tweet out too. He's the Wisconsin waterfall is what he called the mullet.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, and he was wearing a cowboy hat, and he sounds like an offensive lineman. All the things that we're saying, he just like the quintessential. You can picture him in your head. That's what he looks like. That's what he sounds like. And the kind of offensive lineman that tend, like Nick Mangold, honestly, was kind of like similar in that way. And that was the last center they picked in the second round, I believe. And that turned out pretty well. So, I think this was a solid pick. And as we talked about yesterday, they need guys that are going to play right away. And I think the goal is to play him right away. Whether he starts right away or not, you know, who knows. But I think there's a real good chance of that. He didn't really play guard in college. But Joe Douglas said because of his size and his versatility and his athleticism, he has the versatility to play guard too. So, you know, there's some creativity they could do. Connor Montgomery can also play guard. They haven't really necessarily addressed right tackle unless they believe in Max Mitchell or Mekhi Becton there. But hypothetically, you could do something where some combo of Tippmann and McGovern at center and right guard, and you slide AVT over to right tackle. Like, that is a possibility that's out there. I don't know if that's what they want to do or what, but they do have some flexibility, which is what they like to have on the offensive line. So, I think it's a solid pick. He's a guy with potential. He's, you know, with the size thing, Douglas actually cited a few centers. He cited Ethan Posick, actually, from the Browns. I didn't realize he was like 6'5", 6'6". I didn't realize how big he was.
Yeah, he's on the taller end.
Yeah, Alex Mack, who I think was like 6'4", 6'5". And the other one was Max Unger, who was 6'5". So he's not like the first center to be that big. I never remembered that. So I guess I just never really paid attention to that before, but it is unique to have a center that big because usually like them to have like a low center of gravity kind of thing.
Right. Get pads lower than the, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know, if they can develop him and he's capable of doing the things as a center, that kind of gives you a unique weapon also. Cause you know, the defensive tackles in the middle are the strongest and biggest dudes and they're the baddest dudes. Like, and the Jets are going to be playing a lot of good ones. And so that it makes it an intriguing alignment they can do. I think he's taller than Dwayne Brown even, which is kind of crazy to think about that your center might be taller than your left tackle. I there's not really, honestly, not like a lot to say about the pick because it's just like what we all kind of expected. We've been talking about him as a possibility in the second round for as long as we've been, you know, even whenever we started finally talking about the draft, which is much later than you guys ever did before. and then Marissa was telling us, she might even mention this on the last pod when we were like previewing the draft about how Michael, because Michael,
when Michael was at the combine for like the mentor program, it was, he really liked him, said he had great conversations with him, thought he was a really good guy. So, I mean, obviously that's something you want in the locker room and that's what the Jets are trying to build. So
Of Michael's is a friend.
Yes.
Yeah. It will be interesting though. You know, the Giants also took a center and they took John Michael Schmidt.
So, and that was one a lot of Jets fans wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that will be interesting follow over the next few
years. Great point.
You know, yeah. Cause they were basically the top two, right? Ranked.
Yeah.
On most people's boards.
Yeah. That's a great point. So they're going to be compared to forever. If like whatever one is better out of them, the other fan base is going to be mad. So.
Exactly. And they're right down the street from each other, obviously, you know, well, Florham Park and East Rutherford.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to your point about what Michael said, you know, you said that he was like asking a lot of questions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was just going to say one thing everybody seems to say about him, that he's a great communicator. He's like a leader. Like that's one of the things that is in all of his scouting reports, what Joe Douglas talked about. He's like known for like being really good at calling out, you know, mm-hmm. the things in front of him and stuff. So those are like positive, like non like pure football things that people don't really think about with centers, but they need to be high IQ for sure.
Totally.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From raspberry lemon lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing cherry and Palavo pineapple mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
Now, Joe Douglas did say tonight that they had talks about trading down, right, Zach? But nothing really, yeah. Nothing really got to a late stage as far as that goes.
Yeah, I get the impression, because as we were talking about before the pod, there's been like a lot of trades this round. So I get the sense that, you know, and I've kind of heard like rumbling of this, that I don't think the Jets viewed this as a particularly strong draft class in general. So I think that's why they're not necessarily looking to like add more picks. And I think that's maybe why they were willing to trade some of these picks in the Rodgers deal and stuff like that. You know, they can spend whatever they want in the first round. I think they pretty clearly maybe didn't realize that Broderick, like one of the offensive tackles, would not get to them and that the Steelers would swoop them. Like, I think that did throw them for a loop, whether they'll admit that or not. But ultimately, I don't think they viewed this as a strong draft. I don't think around the league it's viewed as a crazy strong one, you know, because there's a bunch of players that also would have made sense there that they didn't pick. Like, if they really wanted a receiver, which it doesn't seem like they're going to pick a receiver, but maybe they'll do it on day three. Like Jalen Hyatt was still there. Josh Downs was still on the board. Like, these are all guys that seem to make sense on paper. And I thought the Jets really wanted to get another weapon because, you know, they tried signing Odell Beckham, and you don't do that unless you like think you need it. Maybe they just thought he was just better than Corey Davis, and they don't view any of these other guys as better than Corey. So maybe Corey stays now. You know, Mims is still hanging around. So I don't know. You know, there's some tight ends that they could have picked. There were some, you know, Brian Branch.
Brian Branch was by far the best player on the board at that point.
And he was one that I thought about. I don't think fans would have been happy that they picked two defensive players in a row. But if you like, if they picked Brian Branch and you just flip Branch with Will McDonald and you had said before the draft that was who they were going to get, that would have been like, fans would have been okay with that, I think. So,
yeah, because people wanted like, Branch at 13 at one point, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I think one of Dane's first mocks had him up there. I think ultimately safeties aren't going to get drafted that high anymore.
He was actually still in Kansas City at the draft. I think he was.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so he had. It was actually kind of funny because, you know, last night everyone's decked out in their suits. But they were joking casual. That he only brought one suit because he was wearing like jeans and like a jacket and
Levis
he said he just wanted to experience it, so
Levis backed out. What did you see
Levis had travel problems, not to sidetrack, barely made it home before he was drafted.
I didn't know that. I don't know if you guys saw this on the Levis track. I don't know if you guys saw this. There's like an old clip resurfacing of when he was at Kentucky where he's like, I'm not going to go to the draft unless I'm confident that I'm going to get drafted because I don't want to be in an awkward situation where I'm sitting and waiting. Like, he probably shouldn't have said that, but he put it out of the universe.
Cursed himself.
Big mistake. Yeah, he cursed himself. Titans is a good spot for him, though. He has the potential to become a starter there.
Yeah, that's the most important thing is where you end.
The thing for quarterbacks, too, like, I know, like, it's great to be. Obviously, the money is such a huge difference.
Totally.
Financially, being a top three pick or dropping. But as far as, like, situation generally, I mean, one of the reasons there's so many quarterback flops, I think, is because they end up going to terrible teams with bad offensive lines, sometimes not great coaching and
bad culture,
and no weapons, bad culture, and it destroyed, you know, if all these super talented quarterbacks could somehow drift and go to like a solid team in the middle of the draft, I think you'd have a much better hit rate with quarterbacks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Hendon Hooker got picked by the Lions, which I think, you know, you mentioned the Lions.
And he's
earlier.
Just going to be able to
I think there has been some pushback on like the Lions having a great draft because like they picked the running back early and stuff like that. But I think if you just look at they're getting all guys that are going to help them right away. But you get Hooker.
I think they're going to be good this year.
By the way,
I don't think that's a controversial take.
NFC is kind of like for the taking. Like they could be a NFC contender, I think. But with Hooker, other people have made this joke, but I think everybody was kind of hoping you get picked by the Raiders because a guy named Hooker in Vegas just sounds
Vegas.
But anyway, yeah. So you know, there's some fascinating. Day two is always fascinating because it's a lot of guys that, you know, the hype machine. There was a little bit too much hype on them. Like there was a lot of talk of Hooker going as high as like number 13 or something, or like number 12 or whatever it was that I saw leading up the draft. There's some guys that just kind of like generate a buzz that's not real. So the day two picks are always fascinating because you wind up getting guys like that. You get guys like, you know, I think about DK Metcalf a lot. Like he had all this hype and then he fell all the way to the third round. Like there's guys you can get in this range that are pretty good, but the Jets have the one pick. They made it clear to us as soon as they talked to us that they were not going to be making another pick today. They have 1/4 and 2/5 tomorrow, so they could get done pretty early again if they're really not trying to add too many players. I'm sure you wanted to get into what they might do tomorrow, but you know, I think the Jets' big move was to get Aaron Rodgers, and I think they like their roster enough around him clearly from last year that they're kind of running it back like almost across the board. Like it's kind of wild for a team that had 7 wins in theory. Like, you know, we covered this team week to week. We know the biggest problem was the offense, quarterback, offensive line. They addressed quarterback in a big way, obviously. Cause Connor just airdropped a photo to me of like him making a weird face. So I just want to share that with, I'm not going to share the photo, but I just wanted to share that Connor's being a weirdo.
He's going to share it. You should send it to me and I should throw it up on the screen.
You know what? I'm going to do that. You're not going to like it.
Stay tuned. We'll get that up in a minute.
That is absolutely going to happen. what was I saying about the Jets?
I mean, this is what happens at 10:23 p.m. on a Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you're here with us.
You were saying they address quarterback to a degree, I guess, now they've addressed.
He's going to be so mad that I did this. So... They address quarterback, and I think they really do on the offensive line front. I think they really do believe that the problem last year was injuries on the offensive line. So they're kind of running it back in a lot of ways. And I'm so distracted by this photo. It's so stupid. but yeah, you know, so they have Dwayne Brown coming back at left tackle, Laken Tomlinson left guard, maybe Joe Tippmann at center, AVT back at right guard, and then maybe Max Mitchell or Becton at right tackle. Like it's not really that much different from last year, but I think they thought last year was a fluke with the offensive line, and it's a risk to run it back with a group that didn't play well last year, but you kind of get it. I thought they would add another running back by now. I guess they still could either in the draft or like a low cost veteran. They still probably need a linebacker. Maybe they bring back Quan Alexander, like, but it really does seem like they clearly just thought the quarterback was the one and only, not one and only, but like, kind of the one and only problem they had last year. There's the photo.
Okay, I'm gonna send we should tweet it for the audio listeners too.
No, I don't want to do it.
Okay,
Connor gets bullied enough at one.
YouTube
time,
only
right?
Content. That
yeah,
is,
if you want to check out this photo and you're listening on audio, here's a great plug to come check out our YouTube.
Oh my God.
17 minutes in.
Yeah,
that is magical. All right, Garrett, now take it away, Marissa, because I can't look at that anymore. Back to I was going to say one thing. Well, we should talk about a little bit more about Will McDonald because he talked today. But one other thing I was going to say about him is all the criticism yesterday. But Scott Docterman is actually doing the grading for The Athletic for all these picks, and he actually gave it a B+. Which I was surprised to see.
Will McDonald, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, he gave Will McDonald a B+. The Jets a B+ for that pick. So that was surprising, but hey, encouraging, I guess, if you're a Jets fan. Scott Docterman, college writer at The Athletic, had that. He's been grading everything out. But one thing that came out today, Zach, was that Aaron Rodgers was one of the first players to text Will McDonald. And he's used to texting defensive draft picks in the first round, right?
Well, yeah. So he actually didn't say that at his press conference. I'm working on something about Will, and somebody close to him told me, it was actually very like funny story. He said that, Will told him that he was like, oh my God, I got to text from Aaron Rodgers. He's like, what's it say? He's like, oh, I don't know. I didn't open it. Like he was too, he's like so excited that he didn't open the desk. So I don't even know if he ever wound up. I just heard a door open. I wondered if it was Connor. Luckily, yeah. I don't think it is. But yeah, so, you know, Aaron Rodgers clearly is like embracing being the leader of this team. Some people were, you know, making cracks about like, did Aaron Rodgers' agent have you tweet that? No, I got it from the Will McDonald side of things. So it's not like a fake thing. And yeah, and Will McDonald, like, try not to read too much into intro press conferences because it's not always indicative of what's going to come. It was last year because Sauce and Brees and Garrett Wilson were all like awesome at their intro pressers. But like Will McDonald was, he was so like, I don't know, so like genuine and thoughtful. Like he talked about all the stuff that he's been through on his journey. You know, when he like started playing football his junior year, and there was a story about when he went onto the field for the first time. He didn't even really know like what the field goal post was. Like that's how little he knew about field football. So he had to learn from scratch. You know, he like lost his brother a year or two ago. So he started getting emotional. He like brought this up on his own, and he talked about, you know, how he's been doing this all for his family and to help pay for his family, because they've been, you know, he had a hard upbringing and all this stuff. And then he starts talking about like all this stuff on the side. Like somebody asked him, because I guess some video surfaced of him like doing parkour. And that's like, he said one day he just walked outside. He saw a car, he saw a sedan, and he said, I think I can jump over that. And so he was with his friends, and he said he wouldn't have done it if he didn't think he could jump over it, because he knows the risks of doing that. And he just went over. He's like, yeah, I'm going to jump over this. And he jumped over it. And then he like went up to like an SUV type car, and he's like, I think I can jump over this too. And he did that, because this guy's a freak athlete. So he jumped over an SUV. And he also brought up that he has a unicycle that he's rode around. And then somebody asked if he's what the next thing is after an SUV. And he's like, I think I have to officially retire from jumping over cars and riding a unicycle.
Once you sign that NFL contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
in yeah.
None of that.
But yeah, it was just cool because, you know, again, we kind of talked about this last night. A part of the draft and it's part of our jobs, like Marissa talked about last night, it is our jobs to, like, you know, grade these picks and analyze them in terms of, like, if they made sense and all that stuff. But, like, those moments are good reminders. And like, looking into a guy's background are good reminders of, like, you know, this is, like, a special moment for these guys. And then you all – and that they're humans. Like, this guy is such a fascinating story. He's got a great personality. Like, he was kind of – he's clearly nervous and understandably on the Zoom when we talked to him last night. But – I was very impressed with him when he came out today. He was joking. He was having a laugh. That setting's not always something where like guys have a great time, and because it's like very forced and we're all sitting down here and they're up there and we're all staring at him and yelling out questions mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But he handled himself very well. And it kind of just goes to show you, like, I don't know, like last year's rookie class, just about all of them, you know, Michael Clemens maybe doesn't say a lot, but, you know, he's just someone you look at him as knowing he's going to be a good player. But the other guys, like, so, like, well-spoken and not to say Michael Clemens isn't, he just doesn't say much. But, yeah, the other guys were last year were, like, so mature, well-spoken, thoughtful. And I think, you know, maybe I'm
and they became leaders as rookies.
And they became leaders. That's my point. So yeah. The Jets have done a good job in these last – I mean, we'll find out if Will or Joe Tippmann pan out or not, but – they've done a good job of finding guys that just seem to get it on top of being good football players. And that's an underrated thing. Sometimes teams just, they see the talent and they don't really care about how, and not that they don't care. I don't know. Like they overlook, like, you know, these guys, some guys' character and stuff like that. And these personalities, and some guys aren't good fits for locker rooms, but Joe Douglas and Saleh have done a good job of building this culture. I think it's bringing in guys like Will McDonald, honestly, that have helped that a lot.
And we saw DJ Reed on Twitter today had a video of the pick where he was basically excited, like, listen, all I have to do is look at the receiver and cover him short. Yeah, he was like, no one's going long.
He was like screaming.
It was funny. It was funny. If you haven't seen that one, check it out. There's plenty of ways that you can be excited about the pick, right? Finding that stuff and hearing these stories. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if you trust Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, this is the guy that they had ranked there on their list. And sure, it's not what everybody else did, but we're going to find out. That's the beauty of these things, is like, if we look back on this in 3 years and this guy's a all-pro pass rusher, well, shame on us for criticizing them, I guess. But you know, we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, and look, like, it's fair to be skeptical. Like, I think last year's draft with Joe Douglas kind of makes you forget about how bad 2020 and 2021 were. Like, if you just go back and look at those drafts, it's pretty depressing. 2021, especially after they traded away Elijah Moore, which we kind of talked about when they did it, it looks pretty bad. Especially, I mean, the Zach Wilson one makes it arguably the worst than 2020. But those are two drafts where they didn't get many players. That AVT is probably the best one out of those two. Some like back, like Michael Carter, the second, the cornerback was a solid pick in a later round.
Bryce Hall looks good for a year, but now.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's a lot of these guys. Yeah, they're just not like getting to the end of their rookie contracts almost. And so that's something to remember. Like last year, they did a great job. Also, like you should hit on two top 10 picks. So not every team does, but yeah, like you need to do that when you get those picks. And they did in a obviously huge way. They got offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. Expecting that kind of hit rate again, you shouldn't.
And then got Breece Hall team. Later.
And got Breece Hall, Max Mitchell.
Would have maybe been second.
Michael Clement. Like every single guy was a contributor last year, which I don't think I've really seen in a rookie class before. But yeah, so I understand skepticism. Again, like I still fall back on my original valuation was I don't really understand the pick in a vacuum. But, you know, I think there's ways to defend it. Taylor Delgado actually just brought up something I forgot we should mention because Dane Brugler brought it up to me and then he tweeted it. I don't know if you want to put it on the screen. He asked if do I have anything on the Jahmyr Gibbs to the Jets rumors. Dane Brugler reported that he heard that the Jets were interested in Gibbs at 15. So if you thought there was chaos for the Jets drafting Will McDonald at 15, imagine if they had a running back. Like I haven't heard anything like that. I trust Dane, obviously. Like Gibbs is a good, interesting player, and Breece Hall is on his way back. Like, so maybe they figure we can plug in a guy that can help us while Breece gets better, and then we have both of them. They like, you know, the 49ers running back by committee thing. But just imagining the chaos that would come if the Jets picking a running back at 15 a year after picking Breece Hall. Like, oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been something. I would have been here for it though. For sure.
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Let's look ahead to day three. The Jets are picking as of now, and it feels like this is how it's going to be. Although maybe they move back a little bit and add a sixth or seventh rounder. But fourth round 112, and then two fifth rounders 143, and then 170, which was from the Packers. Zach, what do they need? I don't even feel like it's right to say who's going to be there because it's crazy.
It's hard and the third round's not over yet, I don't think, right? Yeah, it's still going. There's still a decent amount of picks to go. So, I would have my eye on a linebacker for sure. I think defensive tackle. I mean, maybe not after the Will McDonald pick, but defensive tackle, they still could do some depth there. Maybe a safety, maybe a receiver, maybe a running back. Like, it's all maybes. I think linebacker is one I'm confident about. But, yeah, I would say right now it's just depth. Like, you get depth on day three. So
fourth round feels like the linebacker slot, though, right? Like, they have
There's some good linebackers still on the board. DeMarvion Overshawn is a guy I like from Texas. There's Dorian Williams from Tulane. Owen Papo, I think. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, from Auburn. He's, like, a freak athlete.
And we're at pick 90, so in case they are not on the board when you listen to this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Good point. Yeah, so those are some hypothetical options, I should say. I think linebacker is the one I'm most confident about. I think they can go on a lot of different – you can get an offensive tackle, like a developmental guy. After day two, you're not getting like a starter. Although they got Max Mitchell in round four last year, so you don't know. But I think they viewed him as a project last year and they picked him. So, I think this is where you aim. Like, this is where hypothetically you would have picked somebody like a Will McDonald, who's in theory, a developmental guy that's for down the line more than this year. But they got him in the first round, so maybe they try and get someone who can help them right now. I don't know. But yeah, it's in linebacker. Maybe you get a receiver. And, you know, I think a running back will make a lot of sense. So, like, all the spots I said, but linebacker is the one round four, I think, would make sense there for sure.
All right. It's certainly going to be interesting. Anything else to add, either of you, before we say goodnight?
Not that I can think of. It kind of feels like an anticlimactic draft. There's not been a lot going on for the Jets.
Sure does.
Very unusual.
Especially after last year, right? Like last year was just fireworks.
Yeah.
But they had their fireworks earlier you know, with the Rodgers.
That's the thing. It felt kind of weird, I think, especially because that happened this week. So we had like the high of that, and it's like, oh yeah, right. The draft's still going.
Which is crazy that that was this week. Like, I mean, know. Granted, it wasn't this week. We knew it was all happening for 40
days. But we had to deal with the press conference and all that stuff. So it does. It is like that. This is all in the same week is why I'm so tired, I think. But all right. I said before, Rodgers was the big addition, and it's worth getting excited about. I get some frustration from fans that the Jets didn't have like offseason like last year where you signed a bunch of guys, but they wanted a quarterback and they got him. So that's where they're at.
And they have a talented roster, and I think it's going to be a fun season. Already, you know, the excitement got a jump off this week, but it's just going to build up until the Hall of Fame game when we get to see this team back on the field. All right, we're going to be back with you early next week. We haven't nailed down a time yet, but the full draft recap, we'll talk about who they took on day three and get more reaction on the rest of these picks at that point as well. If you haven't joined The Athletic yet, now is the time to do it, but don't miss out. You can join The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/can'twait, and you can join for $1.99 a month for a year. That gets you all the great writing. You get the beast as well when the NFL draft comes around next year. Dame Brugler's, how many pages, Marissa? 300 pages this year? It's insane.
It's insane.
It's all included.
I've opened it and reopened it like 50 times in the last 3 days, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. You get that. And obviously all the great writing in all the sports, not just football, but basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, all of it. So do that. And we will talk to everybody early next week. Thanks for joining the Can't Wait Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.